Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now we have another club update, this time talking all things Tottenham with Steve McGuckin, the former chairman of New York Spurs and also a contributor to this very show, talking about Northern Ireland often. Steve, very glad to have you back on. Wish it was in better circumstances. The main story for Tottenham right now is the injury to Harry Kane. Looks like an ankle injury, and it is the same ankle that he injured earlier in the season. He could be out for some time. There has not been official confirmation of a return date or anything like that. The scan is meant to happen today as we record. But I'm just curious to get your initial reaction on missing Kane, especially as he was rounding into such prolific form.
Yes, no, he was in great form. Thanks for having me back on, Kevin. It's good to talk to you again. Six goals without your leading scorer. Not a bad performance, but you're right. I mean, the reasons to be optimistic, I think, on the Kane injury is twofold. First of all, he walked off unassisted, and rather than being carried off as he was in the Sunderland match. And secondly, you know, we do have the international break coming up. And so obviously it doesn't look like he's going to be involved in the England squad preparation. And we now have 6 weeks really between now and the cup semi-final against Chelsea. And, you know, that's the target that you're going to look at first of all to see if that's even feasible. But as you say, everybody was waiting with bated breath to see what the scan result was going to be today. And that hasn't come through yet. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where everyone says, "Oh, you're a one man team, or you're not going to be as effective without your leading scorer." And certainly, obviously, if the guy's fit, you're gonna want to put him in the squad. But what a great performance that was against Millwall. Even qualifying that with the quality of the opposition, we can talk about. Excuse me. I talk a bit about Vincent Janssen because I know you're interested in what is progress, but the idea that he scores when he wants, as the crowd were chanting,
which was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was great. But everyone was so pleased for him. The fact that when Harry went off and Poch sent on Christian Eriksen, everyone said, "Oh my goodness, you know, he must really have no confidence in Janssen at all." But don't forget, I mean, the game was still in the balance at that stage, and it wasn't really, and it proved to be the right move to send Eriksen on, because Eriksen, I think, has a fantastic game. But once the tie was under control, it was the right thing to give Janssen 25 minutes at the end of the game, and you know, he sort of grew into it. Now, you know, obviously you and I have talked before about Janssen's personal development and about in a bigger picture this this idea of strikers particularly making the transition from the Eredivisie into the Premier League, and you know, on the two extremes you've got Suarez who did it particularly well, and then on the other side Wilfred Bony, who probably was a little more disappointing in the overall outcome. But I'm still full of optimism for Janssen. I think the guy works really hard. I think it depends a lot on the structure of the team around him, the sort of opportunities that he's going to get. And so I'm upbeat. I think we'll come on to talk a little bit about the run of fixtures that we have coming up, and how they're probably not as challenging as they would have been earlier in the season in terms of just a run of sort of 4 or 5 weeks. So I think there's a lot. I hope the injury to Harry is not as severe as we think it might be, or we fear it might be. But having Janssen there, and of course, don't forget, you know, Son scored a hat trick and is a perfectly adequate replacement as well. So I think there's a lot to be upbeat about, but obviously you want to be able to field your best 11 at any one time.
Yeah, and that definitely is something that Tottenham have not really been able to do this year. But I think I mentioned in the preseason that was another thing that was bound to regress. Not only did we have 8 of our 11 starters last season probably have the best year of their career, but also we stayed incredibly fit other than that couple months of Vertonghen, in which Wimmer filled very adequately. But with all that said, Tottenham are actually in a better place at this point in the season on 56 points than they were last year on 54. While Kane was gone after the ankle injury against Sunderland that we've mentioned, Tottenham did go undefeated in the Premier League, 2 wins, 3 draws. Son primarily was the person that was played up front. Do you think that we're going to see Son, or do you think that because Janssen scored, maybe it's a good point for Pochettino to roll with Janssen to see if we can't get some of that confidence going, especially considering he was very much a second-half player in the year he won the Golden Boot at AZ?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I mean, yes, I mean, you know what you're going to get with Son, and when Son and Ali and Eriksen click together, I think we're actually a very good forward unit without Harry. Janssen, I think, if he's content to be on the bench and come on maybe for the last 20 minutes of a game, that gives us another bow or another arrow in the quiver, as it were. And I think coming back to what I was saying about this next run of games, if you look at, I mean, we've got Southampton next, and then we've got Burnley, Swansea, Watford, Bournemouth, obviously a rearranged game against Palace in between there, and then Leicester. And, yeah, you know, frankly, even if Harry misses, well, I don't know, 4 or 5 of those games, we should have enough capability to be able to overcome those teams. I would certainly hope so anyway, whether we play Son or Janssen. And I hope Janssen gets a little bit of a run of form to be able to, you know, pump up his confidence a little bit, because we were just talking about the Eredivisie the other day, and I do you remember a player, Willem Korsten, who came from Vitesse Arnhem, I think, to play for us, although we signed him, he was on loan at Leeds, and then they tried to sign him permanently, and we came in with a bid, and we signed him, and you know, he was a success coming from the Eredivisie, very classy, very elegant player, scored some fantastic goals for us. And I think, you know, talking of Dutch players, leaving aside sort of Edgar Davids and Rafa, who I think we both would have wished we could have gotten at an earlier stage in their career, and of course didn't come straight from Holland. But Korsten is one of those players that gives you the encouragement that Janssen, there's echoes of Korsten in Janssen, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Interesting. Yeah, the comparison that I've hated most of the season are the Soldado comparisons, because they wear 9 and score penalties. One was 29 years old and scored 20 plus goals in La Liga 4 out of 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a 23-year-old with 1 season in the Eredivisie really under his belt. He's very much a developing player. I'm very pleased that he scored, because I think the people that were trying to write him off no longer are. But this is a player very much on the rise. It's difficult if you want to compare him to Kane, because they're not that far apart age-wise. But he is a very young and immature player, and I just think it'll take time to get the best out of him. But we've seen what he can do in the Netherlands. We've seen what he can do in an orange shirt for the Netherlands as a country. And I mean, the finish, I know you know we've both already mentioned it's Millwall, so don't get too carried away, but that was a great finish. First time into the bottom corner. Against the grain of the keeper. So the upside is definitely there. But I do think it would be interesting to see if Poch does double down on that, just to try to get the confidence going, or if we go with Son. You mentioned how the three move around. We did a show earlier this season, really when this trend started happening throughout the Premier League, when Firmino basically beat out Sturridge for the striker job, quote-unquote, at Liverpool, and when Alexis started starting for Arsenal ahead of Giroud up top. And so this kind of conversion of wide creative players all of a sudden playing up front, creating this kind of constant movement in a three that constantly unsettled defenders and everything. It has clearly worked at times this season. Alexis has obviously been incredible for Arsenal up top throughout most of the season. And if we can duplicate that, I think we'd be in good stead. But, I mean, that's a question that I'd love to get your take on, which is after the last Premier League match against Everton, who are a very tough opponent and are very much on their way up, not to get too carried away, but Barkley has developed really well this season after some disappointing years. But that was I thought that was a huge win. Even though it looked 3-2 on paper like it was close, it never felt particularly close. After that, I said we were going to make the top four. That felt like the sealed thing. We only have two matches against top eight teams left this season. They're both at home. It's United and Arsenal. And obviously, we have nine straight Premier League wins at home. So I wasn't too worried about that. But now with the Kane injury, I know you mentioned that they are some fairly... They are quote-unquote winnable fixtures that Kane will likely be missing. Do you still think that we can be confident in a top four finish, or is it a little more thrown up in the air?
No, I'm pretty confident, actually, that we'll continue to... We might not finish second. I just have a feeling that City, you know, will come on a run at the end. But I'm still pretty confident that we'll not repeat the collapse of last season. I'm very optimistic about that. I was at the Everton game, and it did seem, you know, it was very nervy. It was until Harry scored that fantastic goal to put us in the league. We were very nervy, and actually, you know, Everton are one of those teams where they play with the one man up front who is actually one of the best strikers in Europe at the moment. And if they are able to you know, put him in the right position. I mean, Toby and Jan looked after him perfectly well, apart from that one slip where Jan lost his balance as Lukaku was going through and then, you know, led to the goal. That was one of those things. But and then, of course, the circus of them getting the second goal as their fans were leaving, which was actually really interesting, because everyone thought, you know, 3-1, Dele scored what was a lovely goal from Harry Winks' free kick. and everyone thought, right, that's it. You know, we can finally breathe, because quite frankly, through that whole game, it was a real seesaw. And Everton, as you say, are on the up. If they make a couple of key signings, Koeman, I think, is exactly the right man to take them higher. And of course, now, you know, don't forget that there will be an extra place in the Europa League this year, because I think all the four semi-finalists in the FA Cup are all probably expected to finish in the top four, with the exception of Arsenal, possibly. But it's now likely that the winner will come from a team that will have already qualified. So there'll be it'll drop down an extra place. So, you know, Everton might get the experience of playing in the Europa League as well. So, but they're definitely on the rise. And we mentioned, just to go back to the, you know, the three up front, which is a really interesting way of us being confident in how, you know, the capability within our three. We haven't even mentioned Lamella. Lamella won't be back for the rest of the season, but he gives us another fine option within that fluid attacking three. So I think, yes, the way we play with Harry is I think the way Poch wants to play, but certainly having the options of Janssen, Son, Eriksen, and of course Dele moving around within that, I think gives us reason to be relatively confident about holding on for top four this year.
All right, well, devil's advocate, if somehow it doesn't happen, if Tottenham somehow slip up and miss Champions League this season, what do you think the ramifications would be at the club? Largely, do you think it would just be, we clearly wouldn't have missed if Kane hadn't gotten hurt? I obviously don't think Pochettino would be held accountable, but some players could leave. Just in that, you know, dark world scenario, what do you think we could see at Tottenham if they did miss Champions League?
To be honest with you, I don't think we'll have to address it. I hope we don't have to address it. But I think you're right. I think if we were to somehow have a late season collapse like we did last year and slip down to fifth, there would be something structurally wrong with how we organize ourselves beyond just the one injury that you could point to and say, this is why we didn't score as many goals, or this is why we didn't get as many points. There would be something structurally wrong with how the team is organized. And I think questions would have to be asked if that's the case. But, you know, as I say, I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will happen. I think we are, and this is, you know, famous last words on my part, of course, you can always replay this at a future date. I do think that we will finish above Arsenal this year. And I think that will be probably the tipping point in terms of what happens with Wenger. But I mean, as far as anything can be predicted, Kevin, and you know, we don't really do predictions, but you know, what you want at this stage of the season is to be playing well, and we're playing well, and we have a good run of games that we can consolidate our position. We should be able to have enough to take on those teams, that run of teams over the month of April. By the middle of the month of April, we should be in a very good, very strong position. And you know, I do think this will be a good year for us in terms of, you know, putting to bed the nonsense that went on at the closing stages of last season, and we can get ready to go and play at Wembley if that actually ends up happening, or just really have a two-season run-up to the new stadium. And I know you're coming over to see the Bournemouth game, and maybe we can, you know, we can do a special pod or something from the Bournemouth game. We'll go there early and we'll walk around the new stadium. You have to see it to believe it. It is absolutely fantastic. So yes, I mean we got the Arsenal game, we've got the Man U game. Those are the only two games really that should give us a huge problem. But as I say, famous last words, Kev.
Yeah, and currently the end of White Hart Lane ceremonial stuff is planned for that Manchester United match, but there could be a midweek match in between weeks 37 and 38 based on where they put the Crystal Palace and Leicester matches that have yet to be rescheduled. So,
right. That's a good point, actually. That's true.
Yeah. So it'll just be interesting to see how that all comes together. But that Manchester United match, especially if it's the last match at White Hart Lane, would be absolutely massive.
And also don't forget our final game the following week is away to Hull.
And to stay up.
You know, they might not have secured their status by then. So, you know, there are a couple of potential minefields along the way. But as I say, I think we should be too strong for the teams that are coming up.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I do think potential ramifications if we miss Champions League, I think Hugo and Toby would be the most likely to look elsewhere. I'm not sure either of them would actually go, but I do think that at the top of the list of players that could go would be some of those, you know, older, clearly, you know, elite / world class players at Tottenham.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think maybe we talked about this on the last podcast that we did sign Paulo Lopez on a permanent deal after the 1 year loan from Espanyol. I mean, quite frankly, if we were to miss out on Champions League this year, I wouldn't blame Hugo at all for leaving, quite frankly. Yeah. You know, the man is one of the top 10 keepers in the world. He should be playing in the Champions League every year, and hopefully he will be with us.
Yep, absolutely agreed there. All right, well, that'll do us for time, but is there anything you'd like to plug or tell people to go see?
Not really. I was on the Anfield Index a couple of weeks ago talking about Spurs and various things, and I just wanted to say thanks to those guys. And you can follow the debate if anyone's coming to New York. Follow the debate and get in touch with us at NYSpurs on Twitter or nyspurs.com, and come and watch the games with us.
And if you'd like to find Steve on Twitter, he's at Steve McGookin, but only if you're going to say nice things. That seems to be the rule there. All right, Steve, absolute pleasure speaking with you. As you mentioned, I'll see you over there, London side, very soon. And thanks for joining us, and take care.
I'm looking forward to it, Kevin. I'll see you in a few weeks. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.